Good morning, 638, News Radio 923 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Wes Moreno is the interim county administrator for Escambia County. Hey, Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good to have you
here this morning.
Been about a month. How's the job going?
It's busy. It's busy. It's a fast learning curve.
Hey, it's not like you came in right in the middle of budget season or nothing. I mean, it's all fine. I know it's extra fun.
That's right.
Hey, you said something. You were giving your presentation during budget meeting the other day, and you were talking about all of the current vacancies in Escambia County, in the roads division and the maintenance and, you know, people that we were working on the retention ponds and corrections especially. I've heard some very concerning things about what's going on in corrections, but you tell me, what is the condition? What is the situation? How can we be down 170 positions in corrections?
Well, a lot of it has to do with being competitive with our pay structure. You know, our nurses, we're losing nurses, going to other jobs, making as much as $5 more an hour. So we need to make adjustments to our pay structure. It's not all the corrections officers. So it's a little bit of everything in corrections. From, like I said, the medical area, corrections officers themselves, and law library and some other things in a correction. But it really does amount to pay in the pay structure.
So how much, I mean, I caught it briefly, but the conversation with the commissioner seemed to be about a $1 increase across the board. Did I misunderstand? What is the pay increase that they're looking at for corrections, for instance?
It is about that, about a dollar, maybe a little more than that, an hour. And then by the time we enforce the new 11-hour pay plan, $1 an hour pay plan and the 2% COLA, it'll be maybe closer to $2 an hour.
And is that going to make us competitive, or does that just mean we're not quite as far behind?
We do feel like that will make us competitive. You know, we are in negotiations with the CBA, but I feel like we're pretty close to an agreement that will make us competitive. We'll be able to recruit. We do have 25 recruits slated to go through the Corrections Academy here in the month of August.
Okay.
So that's positive. So we feel like we're moving the needle in the right direction.
Okay. PBA being the Police Benevolent Association, they do the negotiating for the corrections folks?
They do, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. The other one that I was going to ask you about, kind of since we're in this vicinity, I know the negotiations with the Firefighters Union, that's kind of been put on hold. Where are we at with this? Because, you know, when you terminated the HR manager, that means that you have problems with the budget, with the union negotiations. They had that meeting canceled, I think, last week, if I'm not mistaken. Where are we at with the firefighter negotiations?
The board has an executive meeting this morning at 8 a.m., and when we come out of that meeting, we should be ready to reschedule the next session to negotiate with
okay.
the fire union.
Okay. The new HR director is going to be the person who's running that? I'm not quite sure how this works. I apologize.
Actually, I'll be running the session. I'll take over as chief negotiator.
Oh, okay. Have you ever done union negotiations before?
I have indeed.
Okay. You're a man of many talents, so that's why I ask. I didn't, you know.
Well, public works is also represented by a union, and so
okay.
I've been through many union negotiations with the ATU, and matter of fact, I'll be in union negotiations this afternoon with the ATU regarding ECAT.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. I'm glad I asked. One of the other things that obviously that we're in the middle of is budget negotiations. Now, this is kind of weird because it's connected to the job openings. You mentioned, I think it was yesterday or the day before, you said that there was a $14 million of basically job cost right now that we're not paying because we're down this almost 400 positions. Obviously, we want to have the work being done, but how does that translate overall in terms of the budget? I mean, if we're not paying $14 million in salary, that looks like a savings to me, even though the work is not getting done. Can you maybe clarify that a little bit? I just don't understand the overall impact to the county in the budget when we have these empty slots in our. Are we paying overtime, and so it's costing us money? How does that work?
Some departments are paying overtime. Okay. Some of them are on mandatory overtime. And so, you know, that number fluctuates. And we do hire and then we do lose. So it's a fluctuation. But overall, the savings that we get, we realize based on vacancies at the end of the fiscal year, it basically goes to our reserves, which is basically goes in our savings account. That's what it does.
Okay. And which makes sense. Some of the budget stuff, it's not my forte, so I'm always kind of asking questions because I don't, you know, some of this stuff I don't completely understand. Something else you've got kind of coming up today, they're going to have a discussion about the 401A, the retirement plan, and I guess the idea here is the county attorney has just said, hey, guys, can you give us some guidance? Do you know where this is going or kind of what alternatives are being brought forward?
I do not. I think this is strictly the county attorney just asking for some directions. I don't really know where that's headed.
Okay, fair enough. And I know I was talking to Pam Childers last night, and I confirmed with her that she's not paying out above 8% on the match, which is what she said she would do. So, you know, that's actually going on as well. Coming up, Friday, you're going to have a graduation event at Brownsville Community Center for the summer youth employment.
Yeah, that's we had another good year this year. We hired about 115 summer youth, and they come in and they work in various departments, and they get, you know, a valuable experience, job experience, and also exposure to county government and local government. And some of them actually, as time goes on, they can, you know, they come and get hired on permanently, and so it's been a good program for us. It's a good program for the youth, gives them a lot of good experience. And so, yeah, we're going to be celebrating in this Friday.
No, it's a good thing. It's just sort of one of those things that you don't necessarily hear a lot about, and it's kind of a cool thing that the county does. We're talking to Wes Moreno. One of the conversation pieces that is going to be today is about whether or not to move forward with this timeline for redistricting because we don't even have the census data yet. We're expected to get it maybe next month. It's a pretty compressed time schedule. You know, you're looking at this, you're hearing the conversation, you're listening to David Stafford and everybody else. Does it seem feasible to you that all of these elements can be hit and to get this all done in this calendar year?
I believe if we get the information in August, when we have projected, I believe we can hit it. I believe if it goes beyond that, we may have a tough time hitting all those target dates. But it's going to, like you said, it's going to depend on if we get that information in August, like as projected.
There also seems to be some uncertainty. I think, you know, it seems to be unclear whether we have to just start it this year or whether we have to actually finish it in this calendar year. Do you have any clarity on that? Because I'm not certain about that, but do you have any clarity on whether it has to actually get done by December 31st or whether it just has to be started before the end of the calendar year?
I believe, and I'm just recalling a conversation, I'm have to verify, but I believe if we've made significant progress and are at the finish line, I believe we can slip past that December 31st date a bit, not significantly, but a bit.
Okay. So if we're in the process and we've done most of the work, maybe there's some wiggle room for the completion, but, you know, we don't want to be starting this in like Christmas Eve or something like that. That really wouldn't pass the muster.
No.
Hey, last thing, I saw you down at the 200th anniversary on Saturday. That seemed to be a great event for the county and just everybody all around. It seemed to be a great event.
It was a great event. Laura Cole and Judy Bennett and all folks who were at UWS, they just did a fantastic job on that event. And it was great to come together and celebrate our anniversary. A lot of good speakers, a lot of good historical information, and it was just a good day.
Absolutely. And by the way, for folks who don't know, Laura Cole is the public information officer for the county, so you don't necessarily hear her name an awful lot, but she does an awful lot of work fetching information that I ask her about and providing information that we didn't know we should ask about. So she does a really good job in her work. Wes Moreno, he is the interim county administrator. Wes, as always, thanks for the time. Have fun at the meeting today, if you can.
All right, Andrew. I sure appreciate it. Thank you.